He travels all around the world, but we don't get to see him so often, so we're very fortunate to have him here tonight. And he's going to be speaking to us on the power of sound. So we've just had an experience, but we'll get a chance to learn a bit more, to understand a bit more. And for those of you who haven't been to Mantra Lounge before, having a talk like this along with the chanting is something that we're doing new this year. Previously, we would only sing together, but this year we have obviously two Mantra Lounge sessions per month, and one of each of those will feature a talk with a special guest as well. So we hope that you enjoy this new edition. Thank you very much.
Om Jnanam Timirandasyam Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vidhamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Dharubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ajanu Lambita Bhujokana Kavadatu Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalai Taksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Yantah Pravishya Mamavacham Imam Prasuptam Sanjeevayata Kila Shakti Darakswadam Nanyam Shahasta Charana Shravanat Vagadim Pranannamo Bhagavate Purushayato I'm very happy to be with all of you this evening, and I was very impressed by this beautiful kirtan which was taking place. And I will say a few words about this chanting, the science behind it. It sounds very simple. It is a very simple process, but behind it there is a great science. And the better we understand this great science, the greater results will come to us from this process of chanting. This is a very ancient tradition which goes deeply into the history of humanity. In fact, not only in the Vedic tradition, but even in Christian tradition, it is said that in the Gospel, it is said that in the beginning there was a Word, and the Word was God, and it was with God. So this exactly same statement is the foundation of the whole Vedic culture. Vedic culture is based on sound. As much as our Western culture is based on visual images. And the most information which we get here is from the vision. The Vedic culture is the sonic culture, the culture of the sound. And this science of sound was very carefully and very elaborately developed in the ancient Vedic culture. And the initial premise of this science is that everything which we see has the sound as a basis. The quantum mechanic, which is the recent invention, confirms this fact. According to quantum mechanics, the wave function is behind everything. Everything ultimately has the nature of the waves. And that basically means that everything has the nature of the sound. And according to the Vedic cosmology, the first element which was created was sound. This word, sound. And of course, we all know this initial primordial sound, Om, which is the basis of all creation. But then the sound develops, and according to the development of the sound, whatever we see is more or less different degrees of development of the sound, or the sound becomes more and more gross. According to the Vedic science, there are four stages of the sound, which is very interesting to know. The sound which we hear is the grossest manifestation of sound. There is a little more subtle manifestation of the sound, which is the sound of our thoughts. When we think, it's also waves. When our brain works, it's nothing but waves, and waves create different thought patterns. And these thought patterns, they direct our activities. So this is more subtle, but there is even more subtle level of the sound on the level of desire. Even before our desire turns into a particular thought or thought pattern, there is a very subtle manifestation of sound in the form of desire. According to the Vedas, they say that there are three main shaktis or energies which form this world. The grossest shakti is called Kriya Shakti. Kriya Shakti means the energy of action. And the corresponding level of the sound is this gross sound which we hear. Then there is Jnana Shakti or Shakti of knowledge. And corresponding to it is the level of the sound which is called Madhyama Vak, sound in the level of our brain. And even more subtle level of energy is Ichha Shakti, the energy of desire. But the subtler it is, the more powerful it is. Ultimately, our actions and our thoughts are dependent on our desires. And it all has the nature of the sound. But then Vedas also say that there is even higher level of the sound, which is called Paravak, which means transcendental. So the science behind this chanting is very, very important and great, because ultimately by producing this gross sound, which every one of us can hear, we change the sound or purify the sound on the more subtle level, on the level of the thought. And then when the sound on the level of the thought is changed and purified, then the desires will also be influenced and ultimately purified. And when this will take place, the next stage is that we will experience something which is beyond this world, which is transcendental to this world or to our material experience, so to speak. So this sound of the mantras, it's a very pure sattvic sound. And when we produce it, it influences initially our gross body. And we can feel it. We actually feel some purification even on a physical level. When people start chanting mantras as their regular spiritual practice, their life on a very gross level changes drastically. They develop certain habits which are much more pure and much more sattvic. But then this is not the main effect. The main effect, the even more important effect, is that our thoughts change. Because of the influence of this sattvic sound, our thoughts become more pure, more benevolent, more kind. And our life very much depends on the purity of our thought. If our thoughts are impure, then our actions are impure, and we suffer as a result. So by chanting these mantras, we purify then the mind. And by purifying the mind gradually, very important and most amazing event takes place when our desires are changed. Our desires are very important because this is the manifestation of our karma. What is our karma? Our karma is nothing but the desires which we bring from the previous life. And when the astrologer sees our chart, he can determine what kind of desire, what kind of mental tendencies we will have, what kind of energies will push us in a certain direction in our life. And this is called karma. This is called destiny. But when the desire is changed, it basically means that our karma is changed. The karma, which is actually very strong force in our life, which determines our whole life, can be changed drastically just because of the sound. And the most amazing result of this chanting is that ultimately by changing our desires, we will develop transcendental experience. According to the Vedas, when we chant these mantras, we tune up our consciousness in a certain way so that the plane of existence, which is not available to our perception at this moment, because our mind is tuned in a certain way, becomes available. We will start perceive something which we will never perceive before. There is a huge amount of experience of different saints and sages of the past who, just by chanting these mantras, experience something which would never be available to us in our normal, quote-unquote, state of consciousness. So basically, this science of chanting these mantras is, it's the science of complete change of our being to the best. We change our gross body and senses. They become much more sensitive, much more subtle. We change gradually our mind, our desires, and ultimately we change the whole consciousness. And when the Vedas describe this, they describe it in a very scientific way. When the sages, and in Sanskrit, sage is called Rishi. And Rishi, it's very interesting. Rishi literally means one who has seen mantra. Rishi is loosely translated as a sage, as a wise man. But the real meaning of the word Rishi is that somebody who through his consciousness saw mantra, not heard mantra. It's interesting, the third level of the sound which I described is called Pashyanti. Pashyanti means something which can be seen. So these rishis, when they brought mantras, manifested mantras, they manifested it from the highest plane of existence, and they saw mantra. And they saw through the purified consciousness the whole, you know, constitution of our body. Of course, I'm sure you all know that we have seven chakras. And all these chakras, they are described or they are depicted as lotuses with different petals. Four petals, five petals, seven petals, two petals, thousand petals. And according to this science of chakras or subtle energy, each and every chakra has certain sounds. And when we chant these mantras, you know, this is the mechanism behind it. Our chakras or our energetic, you know, constitution is being purified by the influence of the sounds. This is how it works. So I already said that the science behind it is the science of complete purification of our body, of our mind, of our intelligence, of our goals, which are determined by our karma and our desires, and ultimately elevation of our consciousness to the highest possible state of existence. Ultimately, because of the sound, and it is actually described by the sages that the consciousness starts blooming. In this conditioned state we are now, our consciousness is suppressed. And this shallow, suppressed consciousness brings about a lot of sufferings. But the development of human consciousness, which is the real goal of our life, is the blooming of our consciousness. It becomes expanded more and more and more because of the powerful influence of this sound of the mantra. And as I said, sages, they created these mantras, not created mantras, manifested these mantras from the higher plane. And each mantra has a particular purpose. According to the sound constitution of the mantra, it influences certain centers in our body. As you know, we have this Anahata chakra. Anahata chakra is the heart chakra, the chakra which is regulating the heart activities, or, you know, which creates love. Or we have Vishuddha chakra, the chakra, or Agya chakra, the chakra which, you know, regulates our willpower. And different mantras are adjusted to different chakras. So therefore, so many mantras are there according to the particular reason or particular purpose which you want to achieve. If you want to develop your willpower, you will chant certain mantras like Om. Mantra Om is for this. It develops determination, develops concentration, because it directly influences your third eye or Ajna chakra, which is there. But the mantra which we just chanted, according to the Vedic tradition, is called Maha Mantra, because it encompasses all the purposes which we can have, and ultimately brings us to the highest possible goal and purpose of life, which is called love. So this highest mantra, which is called Maha Mantra, Maha Mantra means the greatest mantra, the great mantra, is most benevolent in the sense that it doesn't require much conditions to be fulfilled. Anyone in any condition of life can chant this mantra. And by chanting this mantra, had a very profound effects on a different level of our existence. And the highest achievement and the highest perfection of this chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra is that our consciousness becomes fully bloomed. Our consciousness or our inner being becomes completely developed. And this completely developed consciousness is the consciousness of love. It's the consciousness of complete, absolute love for all creation, and ultimately the source of this creation, which is called Krishna, all attractive. So that's just in a few words the great science. I cannot go into details of this science, but I think this little introductory talk is enough to make you even more enthusiastic about this process. I've seen you are already enthusiastic, so there is no need for me to do this. But as I said, the better you know the science, the more serious you become. And if you become serious and absorb your consciousness into this chanting completely, then the results will be beyond your expectations. So, thank you very much. Yeah, if there are some questions, I would be happy to answer. Yes.
Is it possible to contract?
See, the one of the translation of the word mantra means, word mantra means several different translations. It's a very multifaceted word, so to speak. But one of the translation of this word mantra means powerful sound. Yes, we are bombarded by so many sounds from outside. But mantra means something which protects us from inside. And because the sound of mantra is so powerful, this sound can protect us from a very severe onslaught of the external sounds, no matter how much it is. And if you chant it, it's actually very blissful. I started chanting when was it? 34 years back. And I was doing my postgraduate studies at that time. I was preparing my dissertation. I'm a scientist by background. I was doing my molecular biology thesis. And somebody told me it was in Soviet Union, so everything was very secret and, you know, was not very, you know. So somebody told me, you just chant this Hare Krishna mantra and you just try it. And for me, it was a pure experiment. I just thought, let me try. Let me do the experiment with myself. So I'm still doing this experiment, you know. It was a long experiment. But one thing I noticed that, you know, when you chant mantra, you become very peaceful inside and very much, much more stable. What we need in this very neurotic world we are living in, very depressive world, which is completely, you know, always bombarding us with different things and imposing upon us different desires and stuff like this, we need inner stability. So the result, the obvious result, which I noticed in the beginning, I became much more calm internally, not just externally. Because very soon after I started chanting, I underwent a severe test of this chanting because KGB became very much interested in my humble self. I got myself in trouble, and I never could imagine that it would happen with me. I am from a very, you know, good background. You know, my parents and my grandparents were professors, and I was a pet child, and, you know, I had my, you know, upward movement, you know, I was doing my PhD degree, but, you know, KGB at that time in the Soviet Union would mean everything is finished for you. So when the KGB came, I really had to be very calm, and the purpose of their coming was to stop me chanting, but I started chanting even more intensely because because I had to to keep my inner inner, you know, peace, so to speak. So that's what happened. So again, coming back to your question, it's definitely possible to be protected from the onslaughts of external energy in the form of sounds and in the form of KGB if you if you chant Hare Krishna mantra. Absolutely, absolutely.
Is this true?
Absolutely, yeah.
Can it take you to a higher state of consciousness?
Absolutely, yes. See, when you take the, you know, waves of your brain, you can see that depending on the activities of the brain, you know, the wave, how you say this, the... Yeah, the vibrations will be different. And usually when somebody is in his quote-unquote normal state of consciousness, the wave will be like this, you know. And this wandering of the mind, or, you know, this frantic activities of the brain, which is graphically described as this wave kind of pattern, is not a very pleasant state of mind, and in Sanskrit it's called manana. Manana means basically wandering of mind. And the word mantra, according to the Sanskrit definition, is mananat trayate iti mantraha, something which protects your brain from this wandering. So when you chant mantra, it imposes a completely different pattern of the vibration. And its pattern much more kind of, you know, yeah. So when you have complete samadhi or complete absorption or complete transcendental experience, basically it's flat, almost flat. So if you make this experiment and, you know, take your wave function of your brain regularly, you will see that by chanting it becomes much more, you know, calm and much more peaceful and much more even beautiful, balanced. Exactly. It becomes balanced. Whereas in a normal state, it's just, you know, it's just frantic and it basically, you know, brings you nowhere. Whereas this chanting definitely brings you to a higher states of consciousness. Yes, please.
I just wanted to continue my question just from this one. You said that when we chant mantra, the sound becomes almost flat. And I just had a picture in my head how we have heard beating, and when somebody dies, it becomes flat. Is there something to do with the...
Yes. I will explain now. what is samadhi? Samadhi is a transcendental state of consciousness where you withdraw from the external plane, but you're completely aware inside. This samadhi is a very, you know, it's amazing state of consciousness where you are completely alert, completely aware, and you are totally blissful. In Bhagavad Gita, the state of consciousness, which is called samadhi, is described, you develop the transcendental ability to perceive something which is beyond this world. You're perceiving transcendental sounds, you're perceiving transcendental smells, aromas, transcendental visions you will have. This is there in Bhagavad Gita. But it comes through the process of gradual withdrawal from this world. At this moment of time, our consciousness is very much externalized. We are slaves of the environment, so to speak. We are completely bound by these experiences. And we like these experiences, and ultimately there is nothing wrong with it, but the only problem is that our consciousness becomes totally, it's externalized. So, through the process of internalization of your consciousness, when you go deeply and deeply, deeper and deeper inside, your externally, it would mean or it would appear as if all activities is stopped. The interaction with the external world is stopped, but it doesn't mean that you're dead. It means that you're really alive, but you're alive inside. Ultimately, when our consciousness, which is the inner ability, is externalized, we are dead. This is a dream. The life which we have, it's dreamlike existence. It doesn't have so much substance. But people who experience these deeper states of consciousness, they say it's much more, you know, it's much more profound. It gives you total, complete satisfaction. And you know, when you experience this, then you come back to this world where we live, but you come back as a changed person. As much as the somebody who has this near-death experience and who experienced that he's beyond the body, he's not the body. When he comes back into the body, he behaves in a different way because he knows who he is. He knows that he is eternal soul, which is beyond bodily, you know, limitations, so to speak. So in a sense, it's death, but it's a very blissful death. And it's actually it's a new life. It's a total, complete renewal of our existence. Yes, please.
Do you only get the benefit of the chanting by chanting out loud, or can you get benefit by chanting in your head? Because a lot of times during the day, but it's not practical to chant.
Oh yeah, definitely. You can do it. It's absolutely not very practical to chant very loudly during the day, you know, unless you want to be a patient of a mental hospital. Yeah, you can chant it within your mind, and it definitely has a very profound effect, and it will definitely protect your consciousness from the external onslaughts and bring you the same thing, you know. In fact, it is said when you're alone, when we're coming together, it's much better if we're doing this kirtan. And kirtan is a very blissful event. But when we're on our own, then the sound should be audible only to ourselves. It's much more powerful. And it brings your consciousness here and now. It brings your consciousness at this moment of time, which is very important for the awareness to grow. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So you please continue.
Thank you so much, everybody, for coming. It feels like Mantra Lounge is growing, becoming more full every time. Especially a special thank you to all of you who came for the first time. We hope that we're going to see you again. The next Mantra Lounge is on February the 6th. So please come for that one. We have a special guest from New York. And we also have coming up our first six-hour kirtan of the year. So we've been hearing about the power of this sound. It's an amazing experience to sing continuously for 6 hours. So if you get tired, you can stop. It's very special. So that's going to be on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day. So we'll feel more profound love. And what else? That's all for now. If you're not already a subscriber to our monthly newsletter, please come and see one of the team, and we'll take your email address, and you can find out all about all the dates for the monthly. Thank you once again. We have some CDs of chanting over there, and have some refreshments before you go. Thank you.
day.
Let me know.